ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This evening, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12 as we continue our study through the Word of God. And, you know, I realize we spent, we spent 3 weeks now in Revelation chapter 12. And the reason we spend so much time is because you need to understand who these people are, because they play a big role during this tribulation period. And, you know, we don't want to be confused about what's going on here in the book of Revelation. We want to be able to understand it. And we've seen, you know, the woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars, and it represented the nation of Israel. And I understand many in the Roman Catholic Church say that this is Mary, but it's not true at all. The woman that represents Israel comes right out of the Old Testament with the dream that Joseph had back in Genesis chapter 27. The male child that the nation of Israel gave birth to was Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The fiery red dragon, well, that's not a hard one. That's Satan, who tried to destroy the child, which, you know, first of all, it was Herod, right, who tried to destroy all the babies in Bethlehem, all the male babies. But he was not able to accomplish that, obviously. And not, he did kill the male babies, but not Jesus. They fled to Egypt, he and his family. And we're going to read more of this persecution by the devil tonight. And against Israel, primarily in this chapter, we realize it reaches farther than that. And Israel is going to flee to the rock city of Petra, and God's going to protect the people there for 3.5 years. Now, last week, you know, we talked about this war in heaven, which again boggles my mind. When I think of heaven, I don't think of a war, but there was a war between Michael and his angels and Satan and his demons, the demonic angels. And Michael and his angels cast Lucifer, Satan, out of heaven with his demonic angels, and no longer are they before the Father accusing us. And I think this is taking place at that midpoint of the 7-year tribulation period. It's the last 3.5 years, and it's known as the Great Tribulation. The tribulation period is called, it speaks of the whole 7-year period of time. And not that the first 3.5 years are perfect. They're not. There's a lot of stuff going on. But the last 3.5 years is known as the Great Tribulation, or in the Bible, the time of Jacob's trouble. This time of war and cataclysmic events has never happened before and will never happen again. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." And I realize that when people read about the elect, they think that this is speaking of the church. That's true sometimes. And sometimes it's speaking of Israel. How do we know what it's speaking of? Israel or the church? How do we know? Context, context, context. What's the context of what you're reading? That's the most important thing. In Matthew 24, it's really, really simple. He's speaking to the Jewish people. He's speaking to Israel. He's not speaking to the church. You think, well, how could you be so dogmatic? How could you be so sure about that? It's simple. Matthew 24:20 makes it really, really simple. "And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath." How many of you have a problem traveling on the Sabbath day? None of us do. We go here, there, and everywhere, right? It's not a big deal. But to the Jews, because of what they made this into, they had restrictions. So that means that the phrase "for the elect's sake" there in Matthew is speaking of Israel. And that's what we're seeing here in Revelation chapter 12. It's about the nation of Israel. Why? Because the church isn't here anymore. The church is gone. Revelation chapter 4, John's caught up to heaven. It's a picture of the church being caught up before the tribulation period even starts. I want you to listen to what the Lord says to Jeremiah regarding the nation of Israel returning to the land, which occurred on May 14th, 1948. And once they're in the land, then the tribulation period and then the time of Jacob's trouble will begin. The 70th week of Daniel, those last 7 years, a year period of time upon the nation of Israel. That's really what's next on God's agenda after the rapture of the church, or calling the church home to be with the Lord. But in Jeremiah chapter 30, beginning in verse 1, this is what we're told. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Thus speaks the Lord God of Israel, saying, write in a book for yourself all the words that I have spoken to you. For behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring back from captivity my people Israel and Judah, says the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Now these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. For thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor, and all faces turn pale? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from your neck and will burst your bonds. Foreigners shall no more enslave them, but they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them." In dropping down from verse 9 to verses 22 through 24, we're told in Jeremiah chapter 30, "You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goes forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord will not return until he has done it, and until he has performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days you will consider it." Now, is the Lord speaking about when the Jews returned from Babylon? Because remember, during the days of Jeremiah, the Jews, the southern kingdom of Judah, went into captivity. It could be. But the key is the time of Jacob's trouble. That's the great tribulation. So it's looking far into the future. It may have been speaking about the days when the Jews returned home from their Babylonian captivity. But it's also looking at another time. Remember, the Jews weren't in their land for almost 2,000 years. When the Romans removed them in about 120-something A.D., the final push to get the Jews out of the land, when they said that the land will no longer be called Israel, it will be called Philistia, and it was a derogatory term. This is the Philistine land, not your land. But something changed. When the Jews were almost exterminated, 6 million murdered by Hitler and the Germans, God brought them back to life. It was the dry bones of Ezekiel 37. Coming back to life, almost extinct, but now back in the land, a nation again. Incredible. And this looks at that time of tribulation where guys are in such pain, it's almost like a woman in labor. But it also looks to the point where they're going to be worshiping the Lord. That means they come to saving faith at the end of the tribulation period. Wow. David Hocking adds these words because, again, there are many today who have said that the scriptures speak of Israel, and now speaking of the church. It's replacement theology, which is totally wrong. But this is what he wrote. He said, "The nation of Israel has a prominent place in God's plan for human history. In one respect, all human history is vitally related to the history and destiny of the people of Israel. God's promise to Abraham in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, reveals that all the nations of the world will be blessed through the descendants of Abraham. According to the Bible, Satan has a deep hatred of the Jewish people and has sought by many means to destroy them. God has never allowed that to happen, though some political leaders have dedicated themselves to eliminating Israel from the face of the earth. These leaders have perished, as will all who curse Abraham's descendants. God is committed to their survival and future glory. He will one day restore the kingdom to Israel, and a Jewish Messiah will rule from Jerusalem over the entire world. Naturally, many Gentiles do not appreciate such wonders, nor do they believe that such a prophecy will ever be fulfilled. And Revelation 12 details about Israel's troubles and survival during the tribulation period are given. The nation is represented by a woman with a special child who is none other than the Messiah himself. Absolutely. I mean, there were many Bible teachers prior to Israel becoming a nation in 1948 who said there's no way possible that the Jews are ever going back into their land. That's why they believe it was the church that now is taking the place for Israel. That all changed in 1948 when Israel was back in the land. And what God said in the Old Testament, he meant the Jews will be back in the land. They will be one nation, no longer a divided kingdom, no longer northern kingdom of Israel and southern kingdom of Judah. One nation that we see today. Let me just share Revelation 12:12. It'll kind of set up for what we're going to deal with this evening. We're told this: "Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time." Heaven is rejoicing. Why? Well, the devil and his demonic forces have been cast out. Heaven's rejoicing. The earth is not rejoicing. Why? Well, because the devil's come down having great wrath because he knows that his time is short. Yeah. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and sea. It's going to be bad. So with that in mind, let's pick up Revelation chapter 12, starting in verse 13. And let's see what the Lord has for us this evening as we study his word. "Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child." You know, it's kind of like a cornered animal. Satan's going to fight and fight and try to destroy as many lives as he can before his time is up. But specifically, he's dealing with the nation of Israel. You know, Warren Wiersbe kind of sums it up like this. He says, "Knowing that his time is short and having no more access to heaven, the adversary must vent all of his anger earthward. He begins with Israel, the woman, and creates a wave of anti-Semitism. Satan has always hated the Jews because they are God's chosen people and the vehicle through which salvation came into the world. Satan would like to destroy the nation, particularly as the time draws near for the Messiah to return to earth to establish the promised kingdom. A Jewish remnant must be ready to receive him and form the nucleus for the kingdom." Yeah. This is Israel, this woman, who gave birth to the Messiah, and now the powers of darkness are coming after her to destroy her. Isn't it interesting that we see today anti-Semitism on the rise? It just boggles the mind when you understand what happened in Israel, or what happened to the Jews by the Germans, and now we're seeing it happen again, the persecution. Some parts in Europe, they tell Jews, don't wear anything. Wear a yarmulke for the men. Don't wear anything that will let people know you're Jewish. Why? Because of the persecution. How sad. You go study, look at the United Nations, and look at how many times they've come against and voted against Israel for what they've done, which was nothing, and how many times they've stood with the Palestinians or Hamas or these other terrorist organizations. It's very interesting how one-sided they are. They're very anti-Semitic. They're very much against the Jews. And that's really the part of Satan's program, to destroy the Jewish people. You know, the prophecy update study, one of the brigadier generals in Iran, Israel must be destroyed. Why? Why is there such a hatred? It's demonic in nature. There's no reason for them to hate Israel. There's no reason. In fact, it's interesting because the common people in Israel, Iran, don't really hate the Jews. They don't want war. They want peace. But the leaders in the country are very much for the destruction of Israel, the Zionist movement. and they are preparing for war. That's the whole reason they're trying to develop nuclear weapons, to launch it into Israel to wipe them off the face of the earth. Isn't that sad when that's your whole basis for living, to destroy a nation? But that's what they are about. Satan lost at the cross. Jesus rose from the grave. But it doesn't stop him from going after the woman who gave birth to the male child, going after Israel, like I said. Now, again, some get confused. They think that, okay, this was Israel early on in chapter 12. Now it's the church. Why do you change that? Why does it be Israel and then it has to be the church? I don't understand it. But Leon Morris, in his commentary on the book of Revelation, makes this mistake. You know, the woman of verses 1 through 6 sees differently than the woman here in verses 13 through 17. It's not what the text says. But he wrote, here the woman is undoubtedly Israel who gives birth to the Messiah. But later in the chapter, these verses we're looking at tonight, she is the church who is persecuted for her faith. No, it's still Israel. First of all, the church is gone, right? The church is gone in Revelation chapter 4. And there's no indication that this is speaking of the church. Who are they attacking? The woman who gave birth to the male child. Did the church give birth to Jesus? No, Jesus gave birth to the church, right? They got it reversed. So this is still speaking of Israel. It's not the church. I'm not sure why they try and do that, but they do. And again, are there Gentiles that are going to be persecuted during this period of time? Believers, absolutely. Those who refuse the mark of the beast, who refuse to worship the Antichrist, they're going to be persecuted. But specifically here, we're talking about the nation of Israel. Now, listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 24, verses 15 through 22. And we read a couple of these verses already, but listen to what he said. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation such as not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Again, when the Antichrist goes into the Holy of Holies, demands to be worshipped as God, Jesus said, this is the abomination of desolation. This is what Daniel spoke about in Daniel chapter 9. When you see that happening, you flee. You leave Jerusalem, you head to the mountains, and I believe they go to Petra, where God will protect them for 3.5 years. And we see this over and over in the scriptures, you know, where Satan wants to destroy the Jewish people. You know, it was the northern kingdom of Israel went into captivity in 722 BC because of their sin, absolutely. 586 BC, the southern kingdom of Judah was captured by the Babylonians. But we've seen foreign powers like the Assyrians, the Babylonians, Medo-Persians, Greece, and Rome persecute the Jewish people. And we continue to see it today. You know, all through their history, people have come against the Jewish people. And again, like I said, this is satanic in origin. You know, why did Haman hate the Jewish people so much? Some say, well, he hated Mordecai because Mordecai, the Jew, wouldn't bow the knee to him. Well, that's true, but there's more to it. He didn't want to just destroy Mordecai. He wanted to destroy all the Jewish people. And it's interesting because he made the gallows to hang Mordecai on. And what happened to Haman? That's where he was hung. God is going to protect his people. We are beginning to see, like I said, Iran preparing to come down upon Israel. And if you read Ezekiel 38 and 39, it's not only Iran, it's Russia and all the Muslim nations that surround Israel, except there's Saudi Arabia. There's a few that we're going to talk about that don't go down and or don't get involved in this battle. But they're going to come down against Israel. And five-sevenths, I believe, of this army is completely wiped out. That's why I don't think Islam is a big deal in the tribulation period. It's a big deal right now. But when all these Muslim nations are and this military is destroyed, I think it's going to change the hearts of most of the Muslim people to the fact that, hey, we need to work together. And I think that's one of the ways that they come together to this one world religion. They're willing to lay down some of their beliefs so they can join forces and have peace. We'll see how that works out. But again, war in the Middle East is getting very close, guys, unless the Lord intervenes. Iran is very close to developing nuclear weapons, very close. So Satan, through the Antichrist, is persecuting the Jewish people. What's going to happen to them? What is God going to do? How is he going to protect them? Look at verse 14 here in Revelation chapter 12. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the presence of the serpent. So now the dragon rises up and persecutes the nation of Israel by the Antichrist. And again, when does it begin? Well, you know, like I said, when the Antichrist goes into the Holy of Holies and demands to be worshipped as God. The Jews worship this man as their Messiah. He's going to help them rebuild their temple. It's kind of interesting because if you ask some of the Orthodox Jews today, how do you know who the Messiah is? They'll tell you he'll help us rebuild our temple. What is the Antichrist going to do? He's going to help them rebuild their temple. And Jesus says, I've come in my own name, and you've rejected me. And then he says, but another is going to come in his own name, and him you will receive. Wow. You see, who are they going to receive? The Antichrist. But their eyes are opened when he enters the Holy of Holies and demands to be worshipped as God. And the Jews go, oh man, this is not our Messiah. We need to go. And they flee. And I again think they flee to Petra. Jesus said, flee to the mountains. In fact, if you're on a housetop, don't go down to get anything in your house. Don't pack your clothes. Don't go in for anything. Forget about the dog. Make sure you have your kids. But don't go back for any of that stuff. Why? Because the Antichrist is going to come after you. When you refuse to bow the knee to him, he is going to come after you like a flood. And you need to get out of there. For the Jew, Jesus says, pray that your flight's not in the winter or on the Sabbath. Because the Jews, I think they can only travel like a quarter of a mile on the Sabbath. Everything shuts down on the Sabbath in Jerusalem. And Jesus says, pray that it's not on the Sabbath, man, so you can flee. John says, those who flee to the mountains will be given wings as an eagle and transported there. What's that talking about? Well, some people think, and you know, I'm not saying they're wrong, but I don't think it's right, but they think that, you know, John was trying to explain a way of transportation before this mode of transportation was invented, a plane. And they're going to take a plane, fly from Jerusalem, and go to Petra. I don't think so. I mean, it could happen, but I don't think it's speaking of a literal airplane here. I think the scriptures speak otherwise. I think when you look at the scriptures and you look at here, you know, carried on the wings of eagles, I think, what does the Old Testament say? Exodus 19:4. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, he wasn't speaking literally of eagle's wings, right? Right. They didn't have airplanes back then, so he didn't fly them. What was he talking about? God was carrying them. He was protecting them. He was helping them get to the destination where they were going. And obviously from their bondage in Egypt through the Red Sea, there's God's love and his protection. You know, when a young eagle is learning to fly, the mother eagle stirs up the nest and lets those young move out of the safety of that nest. And sometimes she'll push them out because they don't want to go. We have to do that sometimes with our kids when they don't want to go. It's time for you to get out of the nest, you know. But then she'll fly under them with her wings spread out to catch them and try and help them to learn to fly. Deuteronomy 32, verses 9 through 12, we see, "For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the place of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the wasteland, a howling wilderness. He encircled him. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye, as an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings. So the Lord alone led him, and there was no foreign God with him." Isn't that interesting?
Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.